heard about the dangers of fork abuse from the National Foundation for Eating Utensil Safety. Remember, a solid fork in the eye won't change your TV channels for you or open the blinds and the windows across the room for you without you having to get up. It won't teach you the entire score to The Marriage of Figaro in a key 2 octaves above your range. It won't fry mackerel for your dinner. It won't even mail that long overdue bill for you. No, indeed, a solid fork in the eye heeds none of those rewards. A solid fork in the eye merely causes immense pain. Welcome to Final Verdict, the radio show that brings true-to-life courtroom drama into your home. We tune in now as Judge Ira Hardon is underway in his attempt to make a decision on the continuation of last week's case, Stanley Mooningham versus a California houseplant. Let's listen in.
Nelson, call your next witness, please.
Of course, Your Honor.
Hello?
Hello, is David Goulash there, please?
This is him speaking.
Hello, him. Is David in?
This is David Goulash.
David, would you take the stand, please?
Raise your right hand and touch your nose. Do you swear when you tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Sometimes.
Well, try not to. Do your best to keep it clean.
I will.
Okay, Will, state your name.
David Goulash, Jr.
Okay, where were you on January 16th, 1754?
I wasn't born then.
Do you have someone who can verify that?
Objection, Your Honor. The defense is using big words again.
Objection sustained.
Okay, David, tell me what happened the day you went to Mr. Mooningham's office.
Well, I used to be a landscape artist, and I went once for a job interview, and I went into this guy's office, and he had me put handcuffs on, and he tells me to step into this trunk so that he can lock it and wrap heavy chains around it and then throw it in the Hudson Bay. Well, I politely explained to him that I'm a landscape artist and not an escape artist, and we laughed over the misunderstanding, and then I stepped into the trunk, and he locked it and wrapped heavy chains around it and threw me in the Hudson Bay.
Your Honor, I object! The witness is sitting beneath fluorescent lighting and insists on breathing between sentences!
Objection insane! Overruled!
There's just one other thing I wanted to say.
Yes, Mr. Goulash?
Ban the buck, boycott money, don't touch it, don't look at it, don't think about it, and above all, for God's sakes, don't spend it.
Your Honor, I object. The witness is wearing shoes.
Objection overruled. Shut up, Morley.
Your Honor, I move we recess until after commercial.
Sounds cool. Recess until after commercial.
And so the judge calls a recess until after commercial. We'll return to final verdict right after this, a commercial.
Tired of all the different soft drinks being pushed at you today? If it doesn't have less than one calorie, then it's free of caffeine. If girls with slim waists and bouncing bosoms aren't trying to sell you, guys on skateboards coercing crowds to join him in song are. It's a mass confusion of sugar-free and regular sodas, and it's no wonder you're having a hard time deciding which is for you. That's why we at Boise have chosen to introduce our quality line of Boise beverages quietly. Now you can get our famous line of carbonated meat and vegetable sodas here on the West Coast, and available as well are our brand new diet bodily fluid soft drinks. Enjoy an ice-cold pork chop and peas, maybe a potato and Spam, or if you're trying to lose weight, how about an upper lip sweat on the rocks, or a bubbly semen with a twist of lime. You'll rave over Boise Beverage's unique line of flavored soft drinks, but you'll be even happier you won't be hearing much about them. Boise Beverage's, the quiet soft drink.
Hi, we're on the streets of downtown Los Angeles asking people just what they think about death.
Well, I don't know, I've heard a lot about it, yeah, but I haven't tried it yet. I haven't gotten the chance.
Well, we use it home all the time, my wife and I. Sort of like a therapy. We try to die at least once a day.
Well, I haven't died yet, so I don't know what it's like. I'm not sure whether I'd like it or not. My brother died, though, and I haven't heard him complain yet. Hi, what do you think about death?
What? You're kidding, aren't you?
Death? All for it. Wish more people would get into it. I can think of 3 or 4 guys right now that I wish were dead.
I wouldn't end my life any other way.
Death. There's a lot to be said about it. Try it and see. We think you'll be in full agreement.
I wouldn't end my life any other way.
Welcome back to Final Judgment. As we tune in, Judge Hardon is instructing the jury. Let's listen in.
Que hora es? What time is it? Que hora es? What time is it?
Que hora es? What time is it?
Que
Kehora Ace, what time is it?
I will continue my instructing the jury later. Mr. Nelson, have you marked the first exhibit for identification?
This is not an exhibit, Your Hard-On. This is, the defendant. A California houseplant?
I object, Your Honor. The defendant has on a suit and tie that plainly do not match.
Morley, shut the fuck up, will you?
Your Honor, I'd like to water the defendant, if the court does not mind.
Go ahead. Mr. Foreman, have you and the jury reached a final verdict yet?
What? Oh, well, no, we haven't, Your Honor.
Hung, eh?
My wife seems to think so.
Haven't reached a decision yet, though.
Oh, well, no, sir. The trial isn't over yet, sir.
Oh, yeah, well, well, I thought we might finish before lunch. I have some chests and a dinette set that need varnishing. Get it to finish before lunch?
Your Honor, I strongly object. The defense is clearly trying to feed the witness.
But Your Honor told me I could water the houseplant.
Morley, for the last time, will you... But Your Honor... Morley, I'm surprised at your outburst in this courtroom. I'll have no more explosions, you understand, or I'll clear the place.
Your Honor, if I may, I'd like to call a surprise witness to the stand.
Go ahead, Mr. Nelson. Well, are you going to call this person to the stand or not?
Yes, sir.
Well, when?
Well, if I told you that, sir, it wouldn't be a surprise.
Clerk, strike that last statement, and strike the counselor as well.
Yes, sir. Your Honor, the jury has just held a brief discussion and private demonstration on my part, and have come to the conclusion that the answer to your previous question is yes, I am hung.
Clerk, strike that from the record, too. In fact, strike the record. I'm sick of it. Put on something by Dion and the Belmonts.
Well, as the judge and courtroom break out into chants of wah-oo, wah-oo in rhythm to Teenager in Love, final verdict concludes this week. But we'll be here same time next week when, as far as the case of Stanley Mooningham versus a California houseplant is concerned, final verdict will finally reach a final verdict. Good night.
Why must I be a teenager in love?
Good evening and welcome to False Vocabulary. Tonight on False Vocabulary, we have as our urnk Dr. Otto G. Kershaw, professor of English at the Institute of Modern Glaciology. Dr. Kershaw has been idonerating some new memories about Anglo-Saxon origins and wishes to bradicate these theories to us tonight. Dr. Kershaw.
Thank you, Arlene. Well, through my stirred-hop over the years, I have come across some startling exalteries that strongly interdite the old phraseology we have come to know in Clune. Many Arbandonites feel that Anglo-Saxon direvities have no common stemmel with Nargs or French cartel knocks. Obviously, this only deems that the theory gloriously permused by researchists in previous Blairs has no legimount with the original Pinocracies.
That's very interesting, Dr. Kershaw, and thank you for lionating on False Vocabulary. Please blort me next cunt on False Vocabulary, when my votes will be Alice Trenton from the University of Social Disease and Stuart Pope Paul Fraudulent from the History Department at Harvard University. Good tweet.
Ever notice just how many hard-sell soft drink ads come blaring out of your radio every time you turn it on? Seems like some jingle or catchy slogan is trying to get your attention in between each song. And we at Boise aren't surprised that you might be having difficulty in which selection to make. That's why you'll rarely hear from us. We're the quiet soft drink. We feel you'll choose us because you want to, not because some teenage singer shoved the product right into your face. We also feel we've eliminated the problem of comparison by offering, and now available on the West Coast too, a complete line of quality flavors of soft drinks in a variety of choices. There's our meat and vegetable sodas like lamb and navy bean, tuna and hash brown, or the popular sparkling cheeseburger. Then there's our unique diet sodas like mushroom yogurt and cottage cheese cola. But the best thing about our pop is we don't go popping our mouths off about it every 5 minutes. We're willing to stay in the background because we know our taste will keep us up front. Boise Beverages, the quiet soft drink.
Who said Johnny Mathis had to sing Chances Are? The Beatles? Hey Jude. Peggy Lee, Don't Sleep in the Subway. Tom Jones, It's Not Impossible. Only the Stones could do Jumpin' Jack Flash. And nobody but the King could perform You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog. Now Record Shop offers a complete collection of some of the greatest singles ever cut, recorded by completely different artists. Such redone singles like If I Had a Hammer by the Carpenters, Tiny Bubbles by the 1910 Fruit Gum Company, Cocaine by the Lovin' Spoonful, Blown in the Wind by Hurricane Smith, Raquel Welch singing When I'm 64, Please Mr. Postman by the Letterman, Parsley, Sage, Rosemary, and Thyme by the Four Seasons, and Turn, Turn, Turn by the Four Tops. You'll get Knocked Three Times by the Doors, Midnight Rider by Paul Revere and the Raiders, Hank Snow's Immortal White Christmas, and the Monkees singing Yes, We Have No Bananas. There's Up, Up, and Away by the Jefferson Airplane, Satin Sheets by John Lennon, Blue Suede Shoes by the Cobblers, Last Train to Clarksville by Grand Funk Railroad, There's No Place Like Home by Kansas, Dog Eat Dog by the Fabulous Poodles, Happiness is a Warm Gun sung by the Sex Pistols, and Must Have Got Lost by Dr. Livingston. Not to mention Jim Morrison singing Me and My Arrow, Eli's Coming by the Climax Blues Band, Color My World by Deep Purple, Changes by Dr. Renee Richards, and When Will I See You Again by Jose Feliciano. Redone Singles is a fabulous collection and a must for every music fan, young or old. So write and order yours today. Send $9.95 check, money order, or hard cold cash to Redone Singles, Record Shop, Box 10, Siberia, 02134. That address once again, Redone Singles, Record Shop, Box 10, Siberia, 02134. And for only $9.95, this collection can be yours. Send before midnight today.
The following has been made possible through meager public funding and a tiny, almost distinguishable grant donated by the Titanic Oil Corporation, makers of Boise Beverages, the quiet soft drink. Now, boys and girls, it's time for Bill Hollinger in the Mr. Teeth Show.
And in brief, we feel every kind of feeling, but the feeling of relief...
What? We're on! Good morning, children, and what a bright and wonderful and sunshiny morning it is. Outside, the sun is shining, and the birds are chirping, and the whole sky looks so radiant, cheerful, and sunny. In fact, my whole backyard is filled with the new day's sunshine, and I can see that today is going to be a lovely day. Just to walk through the garden, smelling the roses, watching the butterflies, and feeling the sunshine. I can see the rays of sunshine filtering through my elm tree, and over there, the sunshine glinting off the water in my immense heated swimming pool. And if you look over the electrified fence to your left, you can see the sun's reflection bouncing off my Rolls Royce in a bright and warm and totally sunshiny way. And of course, if you look just past the neighbor's swing set to the right of the third telephone pole over, you can see a big sunshiny patch of sunlight on the mountains. Even as we talk, there's sunshine shifting through the shadows and making its way across my porch. Bright, yellow, hot. But of course, that's neither here nor there. Well, kids, Mr. Teeth feels great this morning, mainly because he flossed after breakfast, and we all know there's no better way to start the day than to saw between our teeth with a piece of strong thread, turning our gums into clean and cavity-free mounds of bleeding pulp, don't we? So, yesterday we learned how to clean your little sister's teeth with your tongue, and today... Hold on. Mouthwash to kill the germs. Now, today we're going to learn we're going to learn how to swish and swallow. Yeah, that's right. Learn how to swish and swallow. Okay. After every meal you undertake in which it is impossible to brush or flush immediately afterwards, boys and girls, it is advisable to remove plaque and food particles using the swish and swallow method. Now, allow me to demonstrate. First, you swish. And then we'll swallow. Now, one more time. That's swish. And swallow. Let me repeat that one last time. Whew, jeez. That's swish. Yeah, swish. And swallow. I didn't know if you could hear me swishing there, boys and girls. So, And I was trying to tell you. Well, Mr. Teeth was... well, that's swishing and swallow. Well, Mr. Teeth was supposed to have a special surprise guest come by. Jesus Christ. That stuff's strong. But I... He was supposed to have a special surprise guest come by, but I see Mr. Filling couldn't make it, so instead I'm going to show you some fun you can have at home making your sister throw up by jamming her toothbrush down her throat. But first...
Rush Gordon versus the Sponge People! Chapter 29, Rush Denies He Passed Gas! As we last left our heroes, Rush and Babs had managed to escape from the asteroid Steve, slipping through the fingers of the evil Dr. Cunnilingus, leader of the terrible Sponge People, and hurtling off into space inside a tiny but frail spaceship. Let's listen in as we hear Rush say, "Babs, I've never seen you in black lingerie before. You look keen."
"Rush, the control panel is broken. You've got to fix it."
"What, me stoop to menial labor?"
"Do it sitting down. You won't have to stoop. It's got to be fixed, though. This is a small but frail spaceship, just like the announcer said."
"The announcer? Wait a minute, Babs. Something smells fishy to me."
"Forgive me, Rush. I haven't had a chance to bathe for a while. What with all this running around from the Sponge People?"
"No, Babs. The announcer. He's an ex-police officer from the planet Earth out to avenge himself on me for something I did long ago. He's the one who's been placing us in these precarious and yet highly dangerous predicaments each week."
"But what did you do to him?"
4 years ago, the sergeant held a seminar on mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, and I did a little practicing of my own with his wife."
"Behind her husband's back?"
"No, behind the police station."
"Oh, no."
"Oh, yes. Let me see a script. I'll see what my next line is supposed to be, and we'll carefully proceed with this fiasco."
"But Rush..."
"It's my show, dammit. I'm not going to let some irate hubby spoil it for me." "Thanks. Ha 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 ha! Your father, he needs help relief... Wait a minute. This script is from another show." "Hello? What? Who is this? Slow down. You must have dialed pretty fast. You're panting like a dog. Hello? Who did you wish to speak to? I'm sorry, this is not the asthma clinic."
"Rush, that was an obscene phone call."
"I'm sorry, Babs, I didn't know it was for you."
"No, Rush. Rush, look!"
Suddenly, from out of nowhere, our two heroes are completely surrounded by the hideous Sponge People, who have swooped down on the tiny but extremely frail spaceship, their guns ablazing. "I told you he had it out for me." Tune in next week when we'll hear Rush say... "Say, Babs, mind if I wear your lingerie for a while?" Rush Gordon! To be continued.
Faster than a silver bullet, more powerful than the William Tell Overture, able to leap Tonto in a single bound. Look, on that white horse, it's a cloud of dust, it's a hearty cry, it's the Lone Ranger! Return with us now to the thrilling days of yesteryear, the exciting recreation of the Wild West, to the cramped recording and sound effects studio, to ride again with the Lone Ranger! In the last episode, Gina Larson was being held for blackmail by the dreaded Spamloaf gang, who kidnapped her, their guns ablazing, for her father's land. Told by old man Larson to track down the Lone Ranger for his assistance, Sheriff and his dim-witted but faithful deputy Tom have started a wide search of the West, putting a call out to good and justice everywhere in hopes of finding the masked man. It is an unfortunate incident, then, that the two should meet their deaths in a hostile Indian raid while camped one night in the Smokies, and that the outlaws, tired of waiting and tired of her perpetual yakking, should strangle young Gina and take off toward Mexico, and that old man Larson, fraught with worry, should die in a sleep of a massive heart attack. Where, then, was the Lone Ranger and his dedicated companion, Tonto, during all this?
And you say, Tonto, the more red hairs, the better?
Kimosabi. Don't bogue peace pipe. Pass it on.
You know, Tonto, I believe I'll eat just one more of those buttons. Hand me that mountain range first, though.
Return with us again next week for another exciting adventure of The Lone Ranger!
Wait! Hey, wait.
Wait.
listening to the Dry Ice Radio Theater. Dry Ice Radio Theater, Episode 1, written and conceived by Chip Crawford. Episode 2, strangely enough, also written and conceived by Chip Crawford. Copyright 1982.